أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: ومن يبتغ غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners and viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about this title, Knowing God. Prior touching this topic, let me have a revision of the previous session. We say that knowledge about Almighty Allah, that is something intrinsic. Everyone knows Almighty Allah. If there are some mistakes and blunders, if there are some deviations, they are something secondary, they are something peripheral. They are the product of some external factors and reasons. Otherwise, everyone is given this intrinsic nature, that is inborn nature within every human being, that he understands Almighty Allah, he feels Almighty Allah with his whole existence. So given the necessity of pursuing the true religion, given that Islam is the most comprehensive and complete religion, given this, that the human being's deviations are due to some external factors, from now on, we will be talking about Almighty Allah, about his existence, about the names and attributes of Almighty Allah, and so on and so forth. Actually, we have entered to the second category of our discussion, that if we could prove the necessity of religion, if it was proved that human beings should pursue perfection, finding the true religion, so now the turn comes to Almighty Allah, the nicknames, the attributes, and those fundamental lessons and fundamental questions that we have faced with. So now we are going to talk about knowing Almighty Allah. All the scholars have agreed that belief in religion, believing in God, is something that has been intertwined with the human's life. Historically talking, or coming to the background of this debate, let it be mentioned that prior to the advent of Islam, prior recording the human beings' beliefs in a well-organized manner, there are some compelling evidences that the human beings believed in Almighty Allah. Of course, the human beings had this feeling within themselves that they should go towards Almighty Allah and they should pursue perfection through seeking true religion. According to the Islamic perspective, in the Islamic worldview, it has also been confirmed and has been acknowledged that prior to the advent of Islam, the human beings had this belief. They believed in Almighty Allah. Though it will be talked about, it will be mentioned that there were some blunders and mistakes in their beliefs and their fundamental principles. But again, none of them hesitated Almighty Allah's existence. None of them did doubt about Almighty Allah's being. Every one of them, including the polytheists, including all those who denied the resurrection day, they believed in Almighty Allah's existence. For everything they found reasonable within the depths of their hearts, that this universe can never ever be created without any supreme creator. Though one of the basic and fundamental difference between materialist worldview and that of the Islamic and that of the religious worldview is, in divinely revealed religion's perspective, we believe in the supreme creator. So all those who were pagans, all those who were somehow disbelievers prior to the advent of Islam, they believed in the existence of Almighty Allah. Though they did have problem accepting Almighty Allah's justice, Almighty Allah's unity, Almighty Allah's favor, Almighty Allah's inclusive compassion and mercy, but they did not hesitate about Almighty Allah's existence. So the most challenging and the most important duty of the prophets were to correct their beliefs on these attributes of Almighty Allah. It was their duty to correct the people's belief about Almighty Allah's attributes, Almighty Allah's different attributes. So it is very much important, it is very much essential that we have to keep it in mind, that the truth of the matter is that all the human beings know Almighty Allah in one way or another. The heavenly sent prophets were to remove those superstitious beliefs from their minds or to give them a brainwash and to remove those barriers and those myths from their mind. And later on, replace those superstitious beliefs with pure, with logical and reasonable arguments that prove Almighty Allah's unity, Almighty Allah's justice, Almighty Allah's guidance, Almighty Allah's favor and mercy. This was the main duty of the divinely revealed prophets and messengers. As an example, we can have this background of this discussion debated, including Aristotle. His birth is 384 or 83 prior the birth of the Christ. So he did believe that this universe possesses creator. This universe, this cosmos can never ever be built, can never ever be established without any supreme, rational, and all-wise creator. So as I said, there might be some mistakes, there might be some errors, there might be some flaws that can be mended, that can be reformed. And they have been reformed by the prophets, by the messengers of Almighty Allah. But the main fact, the main cause and the main theme that our talk and our speech is rotating around, that is that everyone finds Almighty Allah within himself inherently and intrinsically. He is not very much estranged with Almighty Allah's existence. He does not negate or deny Almighty Allah's existence blatantly. He can never ever do it. Galilu is very much important in the Western theology and the Western human media schools of thought, for he is believed to be the founder and the father of modern sciences. So since every one of them believes that our today's life is fully in debt of modern sciences discoveries, so he who is the founder of these modern sciences, his opinion should be regarded, should be respected, and it is a bit important for us to know what was his views and opinions in regard with Almighty Allah's existence. So he believed that, of course, it is Almighty Allah who has created the universe, and he is the one who has created all the atoms, and the universe is product of the collection of atoms. But he says that when Almighty Allah created the atoms, then he has left it aside. then it is not he who manages this world. It is not he who has to supervise this world. So from this perspective, this part of his speech counters to our religious worldview. We believe that he's still Almighty Allah not only exists, but also he is supervising our deeds and actions. He managed the worldly affairs. So he believed that Almighty Allah is the creator of the atom, and the universe is the collection of the atoms. When the atoms are created with all its parts and parcels, then Almighty Allah does not intervene. It was his theory about the existence of Almighty Allah. As it was mentioned, the truth of the matter is that everyone, including these figures, these leading figures, held the existence of Almighty Allah. They could not dare negate and deny the existence of Almighty Allah. Another theory that is very much similar to Galileo's, that is the Newton's theory about Almighty Allah's existence. You know that Newton physics, and Newton, he is a very, very well celebrated personality in the West and around the world for his new innovations or for his new initiatives in the field of physics. Considering this prominent position he possesses in the scientific circles, his theory about Almighty Allah is of high significance. He also says that, of course, this universe has been created by Almighty Allah. This marvelous creature can never ever be imagined without any creator. But he says, it is like a marvelous watch. It is very much complex. It is very much complicated. It is composed of intricate elements and components. But indeed, when a watchmaker creates watch, then he leaves it aside. And the watch itself is working and functioning without being in need of the presence of watchmaker. So he gave this analogy. That see that how watch is a complex material or a complex device. It works without being in need of its creator or its maker. He says that the world is the same as watch. He said that we believe that all the world is full of astonishing and stunning components and materials, but it does not necessarily imply that right now Almighty Allah should exist with him or should exist with them, with these stunning materials and devices. The same as watchmaker and the watch. When the watchmaker makes the watch, so he does not go with his watch everywhere. The watch works. The watch or the clock rotates without being in need of the creator's presence, without being in need of the creator's existence. So he made this analogy that we do not need, or there is no need of Almighty Allah's existence, though the existence of Almighty Allah is a proven fact. We hold, we believe, we maintain it firmly. But beyond that, beyond his existence, then there is no need for his continuous presence here and there intervening in humans' affairs. He believed this. So of course, this part of his argument is against our religious beliefs, our own rational understanding, our demonstrative arguments that we will be bringing, inshallah. Why? Because Almighty Allah is not only existent, but also he is continuing his existence and presence everywhere. To have a summary of what Newton-like people say about Almighty Allah, they say that God is not actively involved in running the cosmos and running the universe. He is not actively involved operating in this world, though he has created this universe. But we believe that he is actively involved, managing the affairs of the human being, providing sustenance for the birds, not only the human, but the rest of the creatures, even for the beasts, for everyone whom this term applies for, creature. Moreover, God in the period of ignorance, or in Jahiliya period, about this, indeed, Almighty Allah has given us lots of, or a host of, verses of the Holy Quran, indicating that the human beings believed in Almighty Allah's existence prior to the emergence of Islam. There are several verses of the Holy Quran. One of those verses of the Holy Quran is, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ فَأَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. Surah An-Kabut, verse number 61. If they were asked, who has created this universe, who has created the heavens and the earth, and who has disposed the sun and the moon, they will surely say, Allah. Then, where do they stray? They believe, and they did believe, they had believed in Almighty Allah's existence, that this universe is created by Almighty Allah, and the sun and the moon is disposed by Almighty Allah. But what was the problem with them? That Almighty Allah had sent the final messenger, Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. The problem that lied with them was that they didn't believe in Almighty Allah's unity and legislation, Almighty Allah's unity in worship, in divine unity, in other phases and places. So this was a very crucial issue, that the pagans of the Mecca did believe in Almighty Allah's existence, though they had problems in other phases, in other places. They had problems in other, we can say, fundamental beliefs. For example, divine justice. Another important verse of the Holy Quran that again reasserts and confirms and acknowledges this concept, that is, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَحْيَى بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And if you ask them, who sends down water from the sky, with which he revives the earth after its death, they will surely say, Allah. All praise belongs to Almighty Allah, but most of them do not apply reason. So, the existence of Almighty Allah was a well-established fact during their time. It was not something that they had to hesitate about. As one of the leading interpreters of the Holy Quran, Allama Tabatabai, says that the problem of the prophets were not to prove the existence of Almighty Allah. For all the populace, for all the masses, for everyone, believed Almighty Allah's existence. What was their duty? What was their responsibility? That was to prove other aspects of the Islamic doctrines, to make the people understand that Almighty Allah is just, Almighty Allah is the most merciful, Almighty Allah is one, the worship must be done for the sake of Almighty Allah only, and there will be resurrection day waiting for them. All of you will be reckoned and all of you will be held accountable. These were the most fundamental challenges and questions that those people faced with, and they did not have clear-cut image and picture from these principles, from these instructions. So the prophets were to correct them in these regards. In another verse of the Holy Quran, Almighty Allah asks them in a negative interrogative style, in a negative interrogative fashion. He says, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٌ فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Their apostle said, Is there any doubt in Almighty Allah, the originator of the heavens and the earth? It is something negative and interrogative question. It means you can never ever doubt about this. And the people also had this parlance and had this literature and had this understanding from the universe and being, of course, supported from their inward feelings, inward understandings and sentiments that we should not and we could not deny Almighty Allah's existence, for the whole creature is based on Almighty Allah's existence. So how they have to negate Almighty Allah's existence? So this is another important issue, that the people had these inward feelings about Almighty Allah's existence that they could not deny Almighty Allah's existence. Though there were some mistakes and blunders, such as the Newton's erroneous analogy that Almighty Allah was compared with the watchmaker. Since the watch does not need its watchmaker, so the universe does not need Almighty Allah's presence. So we will respond in detail, but abstractly or roughly talking, this comparison is not true. This comparison is very much with fallacy. The watchmaker is not to be compared with Almighty Allah. This is also something untrue. So, distinguished listeners and viewers, let's have a summary of this lesson. In this lesson, we could prove that Almighty Allah's existence is a proven fact. Everyone finds and feels it with his own existence, his own conscience, his own inward feelings and sentiments tells him that, of course, Almighty Allah exists. And this universe can never ever be run without any creator, without any supreme, all-wise and all-knowing creator. So, the background of this belief was studied in this lesson from the previous generations to the period when Islam advented. Prior to the birth of the Christ, I mean the Jesus Christ, the people such as Aristotle believed in Almighty Allah's existence. And then later on we say that what was the beliefs held by Newton and by the Galileo about Almighty Allah's existence? We did say that though there are many problems with the people's belief about Almighty Allah's attributes, but all of them acknowledged, all of them had this positive outlook and positive perspective towards Almighty Allah. I mean, every one of them had this belief in the midst of their hearts that, of course, Almighty Allah exists. Another important point that was touched, it was this. Even the pagans of the Mecca, prior to the advent of Islam, they believed in Almighty Allah's existence, as some three verses of the Holy Quran were addressed. That if you ask them that who has created all this universe with all its striking and remarkably noteworthy materials, they would say that it is Allah who has created. But what was the problem with their beliefs? That was that they did not believe in Almighty Allah's monopoly right or Almighty Allah's right to legislate and to intervene and to run this cosmos and this universe. This was the problem that lied with most of their beliefs. Otherwise, they did believe in the existence of Almighty Allah. May God bless us all that we have to conceive and grasp all these teachings fully and apply them in our practical life so that we have to gain the eternal pleasure and the eternal felicity. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.